Scandi Bible Church on this Good Friday, 2026. Join us as we gather in solemn reflection to behold the suffering of Christ through the prophetic servant songs of Isaiah and the gospel accounts of his passion. Through scripture, song, and short reflections, we follow the path of the man of sorrows, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And though this time on Friday is sorrowful, we rejoice knowing that it will be replaced with the joy that Sunday brings.
Well, good evening, everyone. Well, tonight we gather for a solemn purpose. We're here to behold the Lord Jesus Christ, his suffering, his obedience, and his saving love. And if anything, Good Friday calls us to slow down from our hectic life and to listen carefully and to look upon the cross. And tonight is not a night for haste. Tonight is a night to remember what it cost for sinners to be reconciled to a holy God. And as we move through the readings this evening, we'll see Christ as the chosen servant. We'll see him as the light to the nations, the obedient servant, and the suffering and exalted servant. We will hear the promises from the book of Isaiah, and then how those promises are fulfilled in the passion of our Lord. And we will be reminded that the cross was not merely about cruelty, the cruelty of men, but it was mostly or largely purposefully about the almighty high purpose of God to save his people through the death of his son. And so tonight we'll come with humility. Let's come with hearts of repentance. Let's come with faith. Let us not stand over the cross, as it were, as spectators, but beneath the cross as needy sinners. Let us bring our guilt, our weakness, our weariness, and our need for mercy, and let us behold once again the Savior who was bruised for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Resurrection joy is coming, but tonight the church lingers at Calvary. Tonight we remember the Lamb slain for sinners. Tonight we consider the weight of sin, the holiness of God, and the greatness of redeeming love. And may the Lord quiet our hearts, make our minds attentive and worshipful, that we might behold the servant, his servant, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Our holy and gracious God, we come before you tonight with reverence and gratitude and need. And we thank you for gathering us together to remember the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you would quiet our hearts before you and that you would turn our minds away from lesser things, that we might fix our eyes upon Christ crucified. And Father, as we hear your word tonight, grant us grace to behold your servant. Help us to see him as the one you chose, the one you upheld, the one in whom your soul delights. Help us to see him in his perfect obedience, perfect righteousness, and perfect love as we walk through these scriptures, that you would give us eyes to see that all of your promises find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you would teach us tonight the weight of our sin and the greatness of your mercy. Do not let us come to the cross lightly. Let us remember what it was for, that it was for the transgressors, that he was pierced, and for our iniquities, that he was crushed, that you would humble us in our pride, Lord. We thank you that your servant did not turn back. We thank you that he willingly gave his back to those who struck him. and his face to those who mocked him, and his life as a ransom for many. Father, though tonight is a night of sorrow and reflection, Lord, let it also be a night of confidence in your saving purpose. Teach us to treasure Christ above all. We ask this in his holy name, our crucified and risen Savior. Amen.
You all please stand and join me. Open your hymnals to hymn number 303. Hymn number 303, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected, yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. By his son God now has spoken, 'tis the true and faithful word. Tell me he who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. He rightly here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Here we have a firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built.
Amen. You may be seated.
Isaiah 42, 1 through 9. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Matthew 12:15-21. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them all, and warned them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope.
Isaiah 42 opens with a breathtaking announcement from the Lord himself. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. This is the first introduction to the figure known as the servant of the Lord. And from the outset, we are told the servant has been divinely appointed, divinely empowered, and divinely cherished. This servant is unlike the rulers of the earth. He does not clamor for attention. He does not crush the opposition. In the ancient world, the kings imposed justice through domination and force. But this servant brings justice in a profoundly different way. Isaiah says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench." This is not about the fragility of the servant. It is about his tenderness towards the fragile. The bruised reed is the broken, the weak, the spiritually crushed. The faintly burning wick is the one who can barely believe, barely hope. And the servant does not cast them aside. He does not snuff them out. Instead, he brings justice with mercy. This prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Matthew explicitly tells us that when Jesus healed the sick, withdrew from conflict, and silenced the crowds, he was fulfilling Isaiah 42. Jesus does not assert his rights. He lays them down. He does not raise his voice in the street, but speaks words of life in quiet places. He does not come to destroy sinners, but to save them. And yet, Isaiah says, he will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. This is no passive gentleness. The servant will complete his mission. His meekness is not weakness. His mercy is not softness. He will persist until justice, the justice of God's kingdom, is firmly established. The cross is the unexpected meeting place of both justice and mercy. There, the servant absorbs the judgment that justice demands, so that the bruised and the broken may be healed. Christ is the only one who can judge without crushing and forgive without compromising holiness. So as we reflect tonight on the suffering of Christ, let us begin by beholding him as Isaiah commands, "Behold my servant." Behold the one who does not discard the weak, who carries the weary, who brings mercy to the undeserving and justice to the nations. In him, the soul of the Father delights, and so should ours.
With those words in mind, let's stand and sing hymn number 184. Hymn number 184, Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery.
Isaiah 49:1-7. Listen to me, O coastlands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of his hand he has concealed me. And he who has also made me a select arrow, he has hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will show my glory. But I said, I have toiled in vain, and I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now Jacob says, and now says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of Jacob, and my God is my strength. He says, It is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to take up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of nations, so that my salvation shall reach to the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see and arise. Princes will also bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. Now over to John 18, 28 through 38. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled, but might eat Passover. Therefore, Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered and said to him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him over to you." And so Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." Then the Jews said to him, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." To fulfill the word that Jesus spoke, signifying by what kind of death he was about to die. Now therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Are you saying this in your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And so Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him."
In the second servant song, Isaiah lifts our eyes beyond the borders of Israel. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The servant of the Lord is called from the womb, prepared like a shepherd's sword, and commissioned not merely to restore Israel, but to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. The servant speaks in apparent discouragement. "I have labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity." But the Lord answers with deep assurance, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. I will make you as a light for the nations." This is not a rejection of Israel, but the fulfillment of her vocation. Israel was always called to be the light of the nations, and the servant is the one in whom that calling finds its perfection. He is the true Israel, the faithful son who accomplished what the nations could not do on its own. In John 18, we see this servant standing before Pilate, rejected by his own leaders, and now handed over to the Gentile authorities. And yet, even in this rejection, he speaks of his kingship. "My kingdom is not of this world. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." The world does not recognize his kingship. Pilate responds with cynicism. What is truth? But Christ reigns precisely through what appears to be weakness. His rejection by the world becomes the means of salvation for the world. His faithful obedience secures the promises of God for Jew and Gentile alike. This is the servant of the covenant, the one who brings light where there was darkness, not by setting Israel aside, but by fulfilling in himself all that Israel was meant to be. Through him, God's saving grace flows outward to the nations, just as he promised.
Let's continue with hymn number 265, if you'll stand and join me. Hymn number 265, Lamb of God.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified, they laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they and sacrifice the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side. Be led by your staff and rod, and to be called the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, till I am just the Lamb of God.
Amen. You may be seated.
Isaiah 50, 4 through 11. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will all wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who will encircle yourselves with fire brands? Walk in the light of your fire, and among the brands you have set ablaze. This you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. Mark 15:16-20. The soldiers took him away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and they called together the whole Roman cohort. They dressed him up in purple, and after twisting a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to acclaim him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They kept beating his head with a reed and spitting on him, and kneeling and bowing before him. After they had mocked him, they took the purple robe off him and put his own garments on him, and they led him out to crucify him.
In the third servant song, the voice of the servant speaks more personally. We are invited not only to observe him, but to hear his own words, to listen in on his inner life. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. This is not merely a prophet speaking. This is a disciple of the Lord, trained by daily communion with his Father. This servant listens before he speaks. Morning by morning he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. His obedience is not reluctant. It is formed by relationship, shaped by dependence. And this obedience leads him into suffering. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Notice the servant is not overcome by force. He offers himself. This is a willing submission, not weakness. The prophetic vision finds its painful fulfillment in Mark 15. Jesus is handed over to Roman soldiers. They strip him, clothe him in mockery, twist a crown of thorns, and beat him with reeds. They bow down in jest before the kings. The physical cruelty is horrifying, but the emotional and spiritual humiliation is just as deep. And yet Jesus endures it all. Without resistance, without complaint. Why? Because he is the obedient servant. He has set his face like flint. Isaiah says, "I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near." The servant can endure the shame of men because he is anchored in the approval of God. Though forsaken by the crowds, though betrayed and beaten, he knows his vindication lies not in present victory, but in future resurrection. This is crucial for us to understand. Jesus did not suffer as a helpless victim, nor as a tragic hero, but as a faithful son. His silence is not defeat, it is trust. He entrusts himself to the one who judges justly. And in this, he gives us a pattern. Not that we bear the sins of the world, but that we learn to trust in God when obedience is costly. That we, too, would listen to the voice of the Lord. Rise each morning as those who are taught, and entrusted and entrust ourselves to him, even in suffering. When the Lord says, "Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his word," he speaks to us. In the darkness of Gethsemane, in the darkness of the cross, he trusted, and through that darkness, light would dawn.
It's
Stand and sing together, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Hymn number 302. Hymn number 302.
The Suffering and Exalted Servant, Isaiah 52:13 through 53:12. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many of you were astonished at you, just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see. And what they had not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due, his grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Luke 23:32-49. Two others also, who were criminals, were being led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Now there was also an inscription above him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, and said, Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds who came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance, seeing these things.
Isaiah's fourth and final servant song is the summit of the servant theology in Scripture. Here, the curtain is pulled back fully, revealing the mysterious design of God's salvation. What begins with exaltation, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely, he shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted," quickly turns to horror. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance. This servant, exalted by God, is first degraded by man. The paradox is unmistakable. This is not a royal enthronement by worldly standards. It is exaltation through humiliation. Isaiah paints a portrait of a man who is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. And yet, we are told again and again, he bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. This is the heart of substitution. This is not simply an inspiring martyrdom. It is a divine exchange. Our guilt placed on him, his righteousness given to us. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Luke brings this prophecy into living color. Jesus is crucified between two criminals. One mocks, one believes. Jesus speaks grace to the repentant thief and forgiveness to his executioners. Darkness falls. The temple curtain is torn in two. The righteous sufferer breathes his last and gives up his spirit. What the world sees as defeat, heaven declares as triumph. Isaiah says it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Not because God delights in pain, but because he delights in redemption. This crushing is not cosmic cruelty, it is covenantal love. The servant becomes a guilt offering. He bears the sin of many and makes intercession for transgressors. And yet death is not the end. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Resurrection is embedded in the song. The servant will live, and through his life, many will be justified. This is the gospel in seed form. Isaiah, centuries before Christ, gives us the shape of the cross and the shadow of the empty tomb. The servant suffers, not only as our substitute, but as our Savior. He is both lamb and intercessor, both pierced and vindicated. As we stand at the foot of the cross tonight, let us not look away. Let us behold the servant in his sorrow and in his glory, for by his wounds we are healed.
Please stand and join me and open your hymnals to hymn number 281. Hymn number 281, "Jesus Paid It All." And what an amazing picture these verses have painted for us, especially the thief on the cross next to Christ as he's being crucified, and just proving that it truly is all of Christ and none of us. The only thing that we bring to our salvation is our sin. And Jesus truly has paid it all for us.
caution pray. Find in me thine all in all. As Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. As Jesus paid it all.
Continue with hymn number 296. Hymn number 296, Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Hallelujah.
remain standing. You may have a seat.
Well, beloved, tonight we have walked together through the Word, and we've stood again at the foot of the cross. We have seen the servant chosen by the Father, upheld by the Spirit, beloved from all eternity. We have seen the servant who is the light of the nations, who is the one who fulfills all that Israel was called to be, and he brings salvation to the ends of the earth. We have seen the obedient servant who did not turn back, who set his face like flint and willingly gave himself into the hands of sinful men. And we have seen the suffering and exalted servant, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, offered up as the guilt offering for his people. What we have remembered tonight is the very heart of the gospel. Jesus Christ did not die as a helpless victim. He laid down his life willingly. He did not suffer for his own sin, for he had none. He suffered for ours. The righteous for the unrighteous. The spotless lamb in the place of guilty sinners. At the cross, the justice of God was not set aside, it was satisfied. And the mercy of God was not diminished. It was displayed in all its fullness. So let us leave tonight with reverence and gratitude. Let us leave hating our sin more because it took the death of the Son of God to atone for it. Let us leave loving Christ more because he loved us and he gave himself up for us. Let us leave with quiet confidence, knowing that all who trust in this crucified Savior are forgiven, are reconciled, are kept by the power of God. Tonight, we do not leave in despair. We leave in deep thankfulness and in confident hope. The cross has spoken. The servant has finished his work. Redemption has been accomplished. Would you pray with me? O holy God, we bow before you with gratitude and reverence, thanking you for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, and that by his wounds we are healed. Do not let these truths, Lord, pass quickly from us. Write them upon our hearts. Humble us for our sin and fill us with thankfulness for so great a Savior. Keep us in faith, in reverence, and in hope as we leave this place. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And would you stand for the benediction? On Easter Sunday, we all know the greeting. And I read this morning in a blog that there should be a good greeting for Good Friday. What do you say on Good Friday? And the author of the blog had suggested, our sins are forgiven, and the response, they are forgiven indeed. Hear the Lord's benediction. Now may the God of peace, who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, grant you grace to rest in Christ and in Christ alone. May he humble you under the weight of your sin, comfort you by the sufficiency of the cross, and fix your eyes and your heart upon the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. And may you go in hope, trusting the crucified Christ until faith becomes sight. Our sins are forgiven. Amen.